This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, it has been a crazy week in Caps world. There have been some trades, there have been some players put on waivers, and there has been some craptastic hockey that we have been forced to watch. Joining me, as always, talking all about it, Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. The Caps are expanding. They're doing crazy stuff on the ice that doesn't make any sense. I guess we should start with talking about the trades since the trade deadline is coming up. Caps made a couple moves, brought two new defensemen on. Well, can you tell me about them?
It's funny you should ask, considering I'm pretty sure both my comments on Twitter after these trades were, "I know nothing about these gentlemen."
Or who?
Yeah, that was pretty much how I went. Huh? Caps picked up. What? It's always kind of interesting when you see a team that is making the playoffs move someone out. You kind of question as to, why would they be doing that? But I think that it made sense to acquire someone, or someone's in this case, to bring in someone defensively. And the fact that the Capitals sent a third-round pick, a conditional third-round pick. I believe the case is Chicago actually gets to pick which third-round pick they want from the Capitals, whether it is the one they acquired from New Jersey from Marcus Johansson, which actually was originally Toronto's, or if they get the Capitals' third-round pick. So they sent that to Chicago for defenseman Michael Kempney, which that N is really throwing me off. I don't know how you feel.
I don't know how to say it at all, so I'm always confused.
So it's Kempney. Like, Kempney. It's pretty... Yeah, but like when you first are seeing it, you're seeing that N, and it's kind of you're sort of like Kempe, Michael Kempe, and there's an N. It makes it a little confusing for everybody. So they brought him in. He hasn't played for the team yet. He's been in practice. And then this was on Transfer Day. And then today they actually acquired from Montreal for a fifth-round pick, I believe, in 2019. And I don't know if I'm saying his name right, but it's Jacob or Jakob Jerebek, who I haven't read a lot on these because, again, the Washington Post is behind a paywall. But what I have read on Twitter from Isabel Kershutian of the Washington Post, as well as a couple other people, is that Brian McClellan, defenseman who can move the puck and bring the puck up the ice, and that the Capitals have been struggling to get the puck out of their own end, which is true. They are having trouble with that. Lots of turnovers. If you saw the Tampa game with their sort of high-octane forechecking, that the Capitals really struggled to get the puck out of their own zone the other night. But then they're also having trouble keeping the puck out of their own goal.
Yep.
So I kind of was hoping they were going to go out and bring a defensive-minded defenseman, but I guess in this case, beggars can't be choosers. And at this point, any help, if these guys are, is would be greatly appreciated because, they as a result of these moves, they put Taylor Chorney on waivers. He ended up getting picked up by Columbus. And I have to imagine with the team now at 20 players, one of these guys came in $6 because I believe I read that, and I haven't looked at it yet, but their cap hit is actually higher than Chorney's. At this point, I have to imagine both of them are going to be playing. So I have to imagine one, if not two people, are going to find themselves either in the press box or back in Hershey.
Yeah, that's my big question here. I mean, we agreed last week defense was the way to go if they were going to make moves at the trade deadline. I think it's really funny. Russian Machine Never Breaks called these two guys bargain bins. You're looking for a $5 movie at Walmart, and you're just kind of like, that'll get the job done. All right, let's do that. And that's what this kind of feels like. It feels like these guys are brought in. They're in the bargain bin. They're not – I don't think they'll win you a Stanley Cup, but maybe they'll get the job done for the night. Obviously something has to happen with this defense. It's not working, period. There's just no other way around it. They're leaving
Brayden. It's not working well enough.
I mean, I'm just saying it's not working at all. I mean, they're barely doing anything correct. They're leaving Braden Holtby, Philip Grubauer out to dry. I mean, just look at games like Tampa Bay or in Chicago this week. Absolutely just terrible performances by the team all around. So, yeah, maybe Madison Bowie, Christian Juice aren't getting the job done. I would assume one of them is going to Hershey. One of them sits in the press box. With Taylor Chorney gone, I mean, that's really the only option they have right now. Plus, if you do move one of those players down to Hershey, there is potential of making one more trade or one more acquisition. So what do you think going forward? What's your prediction with the trade deadline looming less than a week away? Do the Caps stay put where they're at, or do they bring somebody else in? Does Juice or Bowie go down to Hershey? What do you think is the next step?
I mean, I think it would make the most sense to send someone down. I know a lot of people have been a little hard on Bowie lately with the way he's been playing, so it would make the most sense to send him down, especially because you can send him. He's one of the guys that you can send down and not have to pass through waivers. So it makes the most sense to send Bowie down, give Hershey some help. And then, you know, it looks like the new guy, Jerebek maybe, or Jurebek, say his name. He may also be able to go down. But if you look at these guys that they acquired, both are unrestricted free agents at the end of the season.
So these are rentals.
But they're not, well, not necessarily, because the newest guy, Jerebek, is 26. I really hope I'm saying his name right, because I have no idea. And Kempney is 27. So both guys have the opportunity to stick around. Looks like Jerebek's cap hit for this season was $925,000, whereas Kempney was $900,000. So both are likely to a raise. I remember I read, and unfortunately, I can't remember who it was on Twitter, but they were saying, that they would not be surprised if Chicago, who sent Kempney to the Capitals, then came calling for him on July 1st when free agency opens. So I do think that these are guys that the Capitals will be looking at. I think if they find a way to move out Orpik, whether it's now or in the summer, they're definitely a cheaper option to hang on to one, if not both of these guys, depending on what you decide to do. Now, you do have Madison Bowie, who's going to be a restricted free agent, and you're likely going to give him another look next season. You know, you're going to have Niskanen back. Let's say you don't have Orpik. You have Niskanen, Orlov, Carlson, Juice, and Bowie. That's five. So you need at least two more, or at least one more. As well as you have the opportunity to bring up a couple of more young guys in someone like Lucas Johansson or Tyler Lewington. So there's definitely an opportunity for either one of these guys to come back, but we'll see how they play. Now, we have seen the players take a while to adapt to Trotz's system, and probably could be part of the issue with some of these younger guys. So we'll see how things work out there. But you have a lot of other guys that you need to re-sign in the offseason, not only Bowie, but Philip Grubauer, unless you move him out. Devontae Smith-Pelly will need a new deal. Jay Beagle is an unrestricted free agent. And Tom Wilson will be a restricted free agent. So I imagine Beagle and Wilson are going to be looking for a little bit of an upgrade in terms of their pay. Alex Chiasson is going to be an unrestricted free agent, but I don't expect that he's going to return. Looking at the minors, Riley Barber needs a new deal. Lewington needs a new deal. Liam O'Brien needs a new deal. Travis Boyd. Grayovac, you know, there's a couple of guys, young guys, Aaron Ness, they'll need new deals. But either way, the Caps definitely have some work to do. Oh, right. And John Carlson. So there's definitely some moves he made in the offseason, but I wouldn't be surprised if they play well for the Capitals to make a press to try and bring some of these guys that they just brought in, bring one of them, if not both of them, back.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens with these two guys. I think, who is it, Kempney is supposed to play coming up, I think, against Florida, and he's supposed to be paired with John Carlson. And then I think the new guy, he's not going to be even available until maybe the Buffalo game on Saturday. So let's see how they do. Do you expect big things from these guys? I know neither of us really know a lot about these players and how they've been on in Chicago and Montreal, but, I mean, something's got to happen with this defense. Are these guys the answer?
An immediate answer? No. I wouldn't think so. But, you know, I'd be happy to be wrong.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't. At that point, I'm okay with being wrong. Because if you can go out and you find some guy that, you know, you see that happen sometimes where you go out and you find a player out of nowhere and you're like, this guy's amazing. And he turns out to be an all-star for your team or incredibly good. And maybe that is one of these guys, but the odds of that happening, you know, I would say are maybe 30%, 25%. So we'll see what happens. I'd love to be wrong because I'd love to see that they can go out and find a guy that, you know, didn't give up a lot to acquire. I mean, a third round pick, you know, it's not great to lose, but you know, if you can go out and acquire a guy that actually ends up being very talented and does a lot of good work for you, then why not? Especially if they end up being not too expensive, because at $900,000, you know, you give him a decent raise, 1.5. That's not that bad, especially when you still have to pay Orpik 5.5 next season, unless you can thankfully move him out.
Yeah, they're still not going to do that. But are you shocked that Taylor Chorney was put on waivers? He, I mean, you think 2 years ago when he filled in for Brooks Orpik when Brooks broke his hip, and Chorney did just an absolute fantastic job playing almost every single night for over half the season. This season, really, he hasn't had the greatest season. He's played a couple games, didn't look good.
He hasn't gotten to play.
Yeah, he hasn't really looked good. Are you surprised or anything about he was the one that got put on waivers?
I was surprised a little bit at first. This is before the deal today. I kind of figured that Bowie was going to get sent down. Chorney would still be sitting up in the press box. But then it made a lot of sense to put him on waivers. My guess is that McClellan knew that the deal for the new guy was going to come today or the next day, and that it was likely that, you know, Chorney was going to be moved out anyways, and so might as well just give him an opportunity to go and play somewhere, which he's going to get as he got claimed by Columbus today. So, I mean, it's good for him. He went from one, you know, team fighting for a playoff spot to another team that's going to be fighting for a playoff spot. So I think it makes the most sense in the long run because I think he was going to go one way or another.
Yeah, I mean, I like Chorney. I think he was a good guy, good presence in the locker room, but this season he just hasn't had the chance to play. When he does play, it's just not very good. So, you know, best of luck to him in Columbus. Do you think the caps are done, or can we expect something Monday night at 8 o'clock right as the trade deadline ends? Is there still a chance Mike Green might come back?
Well, I hope not, because doesn't the deadline at, like, 3?
Is it at 3? I thought it was at 8.
I don't know.
It may be at 3.
I think it's usually in the afternoon.
Yeah, it is.
But then he'd been announcing deals throughout the day because things are like being fine. Their paperwork's being finalized.
Right.
I do think that they could make another move. I feel like I read earlier that the caps are not necessarily done.
I think they still have a couple hundred thousand left. And if they do send someone like Bowie down, they'll save that kind of cap space. So, I mean, they do have a little bit of money to play with there.
So according to capfriendly.com, they have, their projected cap space is, well, this is weird. It says current cap, projected cap space, $149,199. Current cap space, $616,689. So if you send, deadline cap space is $693,775. This is assuming I knew this is true. If you send down Bowie, I don't know how much that necessarily saves you. Do they have, you know, they can make a move for somebody? Yes. Is it going to be somebody that's a high impact player, like, you know, looking like a Mike Green? No, not without moving someone else out. So I don't anticipate maybe they make another move, but unless they get rid of Orpik or Grubauer, then yes, maybe you have a chance to go out and acquire someone that's really going to make a big impact or a well-known player right now. But with their cap space as it is right now, I don't anticipate they're going out and acquiring someone of, you know, like a Mike Green or someone of that kind of name.
Now, let's just say this is it. The Caps are done trading. This is the team that we have.
They're out in the first or second round, is my guess.
All right, so you're seeing them at least making the playoffs with this team.
Probably, yeah. I think they make the playoffs, but based on the way they played this past week, you know, they got wins over Minnesota and Buffalo, but they had some ugly losses to Chicago and Tampa. So it's tough to say that this team is necessarily going to make the playoffs, or even do something in the playoffs.
All right, now, yeah, let's talk a little bit about those losses. Really terrible games. I think Ovechkin even came out and said that the Chicago game was the worst game of his career. The Caps struggled in Buffalo. They did all right in Minnesota. It looked absolutely like trash against Tampa Bay. So what is going on with this team right now? Is this just, I mean, I don't even know what to say now. We're in February. There's like 22 games left in this season. Are they slumping? Is this poor coaching? Is this laziness? What is going on with this team? I mean, 7-1 and 4-2. I mean, that 4-2 is very.
It wasn't as close as it looked like.
No, Tampa Bay came out guns a blazing in the first and were up by 3 points. And the Caps looked like they had just gotten out of bed and they hadn't practiced in weeks. As if it looks as if I was playing on the team. Let's put it that way. So, what is going on with this team right now? What is the problem? What is going on?
I think some of it's coaching. They need to prepare the players to do better, for lack of a more eloquent way to put it. I think some of the problem is definitely the players might just be a little bored or they're a little tired. You know, it's later in the season. They're kind of antsy to probably get to the playoffs and play for some hockey that means a lot more. I just think some of these guys, maybe they're a little beat up right now and they're just, you know, their bodies are a little beat down. They, you know, need a little bit more motivation. So you hope the coaching staff can get some of these guys through the more mental related issues. But it's, you know, it's a long season. I mean, you go and you look at the game against Tampa and Holtby saying that like the third and fourth goals are on him. And I'm like, dude, you can't have that. You can't go into the playoffs and be like, oh, I messed up that. You know, that so we lost the game because of that. It's like you have to be on top of your game all the time. Like there's no time to take a break.
Right. Well, they had a whole break last month with playing like two games every 10 days in January. I mean, if you're not being able to focus on the grind here in February, I think you may have gotten into the wrong business if you think you're going to be a hockey player your whole life. Do you think there's a need for a coach change this late in the season?
No, because I don't think with this roster you're going to get anything significantly better than what you're getting from Trotz. I do think that if they don't get past the second round, that we're, you know, in the summer we're talking about whoever the new head coach is.
And potentially general manager as well.
You think they do that?
I think both of their contracts are up this summer. What better way to change than when the contracts are up, just not renew them?
It wouldn't be the first time that they've done that,
right?
In terms of had these guys get replaced together.
Yeah, I mean, Adam Oates and George McPhee. I mean, last time it happened.
I mean, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see because the new GM, you know, if McClellan was to be not brought back, it'd be interesting to see who the new GM was in terms of what he would decide to do with a guy like Brooks Orpik, who's only got 1 year left, but that cap hit is really hamstring your team, and you got to re-sign Carlson and a bunch of other guys. So it'd be interesting to see what the team would do if they decided to go in a new direction. But I do think if they don't get out of the second round, that they just don't bring Trotz back and they go after someone else.
Yeah, I don't know. This month has scared me a lot. It has been a lot of losses. I mean, Pittsburgh, Vegas, Detroit, Winnipeg, Chicago, Tampa. That is a lot of losses this late in the season. That looks really bad. And a lot of these teams,
a lot of bad losses. That's the problem.
Yeah, I mean 7-1 against Chicago, and Chicago is a little beat up themselves. I mean, Tampa Bay. There's a very good chance that if you do make it into the playoffs, you're going to face Tampa Bay, especially in maybe the first, second, and if you can get out of the second, the third round. I mean, Tampa Bay is definitely a threat in the East. So
they gotta get past the Penguins first.
Oh yeah, God, I hate the Penguins. Yeah, that just sucks. But
well, here's a point, Brandon, or Smiley Brandon, in regards to Trotz, and I'll ask you this because you're the only person I'm talking to. Name me a young guy that Trotz has. I don't know. Acquired is not the right word, but you know what I'm saying here. Name me a young guy that Trotz has really molded into a star in this league.
Tom Wilson.
Okay, not a star. It's a star in this league. We still haven't seen that from Wilson. We've seen spurts here and there this season. More so, than in the past.
But under Barry Trotz's tenure.
Name me a young guy that Trotz has brought up that has really flourished.
Well, I will say Tom Wilson under Trotz's tenure has gotten better. I mean, there's no discounting that. He has had a fantastic season this year under Barry Trotz's tutelage, but I can't think of anybody who has really done well and stayed doing well under Barry Trotz.
A young guy. Not like, you know, I mean, he's had players that have done well and exceeded. You look at Ovechkin. Kuznetsov maybe.
Well, Ovechkin is in a league of his own.
I'm saying, like, he's done well with something. I mean, you look at TJ Oshie, who's regressed a bit this season. Backstrom's been doing well, Ovechkin. Burakovsky, we still don't know what we have from him. Tom Wilson, yes and no. Beagle's not really, I wouldn't call him a star. He's a very good, you know, fourth line player. Connolly, maybe you give him some credit.
Except he did disappear in the playoffs.
Yeah, but so did the rest of the freaking team. Vrana, we still are unsure about. Chandler Stephenson, yeah, he's come on pretty well this season. He's not like a star by any means, but he's a reliable player. But I don't see any, you know, the defensemen that really have, like, maybe Orlov. But Orlov was already going that way before he got injured, so I don't know how much credit I give to Trotz. But I am. We started at the beginning of the season, but I am questioning. And this worked last time because we were questioning Trotz, you know, a little before Thanksgiving, and the team went on a run. So maybe we need to do it again. But I do question as to whether Trotz is really the right guy for this team.
I've heard he's an avid listener of What the Puck.
Well, you know what? I appreciate it. Hey, Barry. I don't think you need to have a job with this team anymore. And he's a human being, and that part sucks, but it's the reality of the sport. And I do think that if the Caps were to let him go, he will be coaching behind a bench as a head coach next season somewhere.
Speaking real quick, just of old coaches that this team has had, did you hear what Bruce Boudreau said to Ovechkin when they were in Minnesota?
Yeah, I heard you were going to the Olympics.
Why aren't you at the Olympics? Heard you were going. Man.
Yeah, Bruce, don't be a dick.
That is cold.
That's just, you know what, Bruce, it's unnecessary. It's kind of comments, just, you know, it hurts the team.
But it's funny.
It actually was pretty damn funny.
I don't know how to fix this team. I'm hoping these young defensemen coming in are going to do a little bit more for this team, give a little bit more support to the goalie. And offensively, I don't know what to do offensively because a lot of these guys aren't scoring when they need to. I mean, the only guy to really impress me in the last couple of weeks is Lars Eller, who I have not been a big fan of his entire Capitals career.
You're not a huge fan of the guy.
I'm not. And the fact that he got a 5-year contract still just boggles my mind. But since then, I mean, he's getting goals. He's playing offense very well. But, I mean, it scares me that TJ Oshie hasn't done anything really this season.
He's only 28. He's currently, hold on, I have to count. 1, 2, 3, 4. Fifth on the team in scoring.
Eller is?
No, Oshie. Eller's 3 points behind him. Oshie in 54 games has 12 goals and 21 assists.
Who was it? I think it was one of the Russia Machine guys put out a stat that Nate Schmidt is only like 3 points behind Oshie for the league, which is crazy.
Well, but Schmidt's also probably getting more minutes in Vegas than he would be getting here. But then you look at Eller, who's got 12 goals and 18 assists. I'd be interested to see if Eller's on a higher line if he would have more points than Oshie.
That's interesting.
And it could just be Oshie's having a down season. You know, these things happen. I believe so is Jonathan Toews right now.
Yeah.
He's having a down season. So these things happen.
Another guy who's been a little disappointing this season is Jakub Vrana. I believe during the last game they said that he hasn't had a point or a goal in the last 23 games, 22 games, something like that. That's...
I double-checked, but my computer would probably have a connection.
That is not good. You know, he sat a couple games, looked at stuff from a different angle in the press box, but
this goes back to my point. Like, is Trotz capable of bringing along a young guy and turning him into not necessarily a star, but a good player, competitive, hard, not to say that Trotz is hardworking, but a competitive top six player? And we haven't seen that.
We have not. All right, so before we get out of Caps world, I still think there's a lot of stuff to fix on this team, but we do have to bring this up. On Saturday in Chicago, Devontae Smith-Pelly was serving a penalty, and a group of rowdy, rude, inconsiderate, stupid Chicago fans were screaming basketball at him, as in they're using that as a racial slur, telling him to get off the ice and go play basketball. The arena security, NHL officials took note of this. They told security in the building, had the fans ejected. The Blackhawks have come out and said that those fans are banned for life for coming back to games. Any kind of racial slur or anything like that is uncalled for, unnecessary, does not belong in the game of hockey, does not belong in this world, does not belong in any sport, any classroom, anywhere. It doesn't belong, period. And it's an absolutely terrible thing that Devontae Smith-Pelly and any African-American or any minority player has to sit in the penalty box and have fans scream stuff like that at them. So I am very happy with the way that the Chicago Blackhawks and the arena responded to it. I'm very proud to be a Caps fan and how Devontae Smith-Pelly responded to it the next day in the media. I think he's handling it just phenomenal and showing how much of a class act the guy is. And I can't believe, you know, it's 2018 and we have to talk about something like that on any kind of podcast. I think it's terrible what they did. I would never want a Caps fan to do something like that to an opposing team's players or anything like that. It's stupid. It's wrong. And I'm so unhappy and hurt that it happened. But at the same time, it's shining a light on something, and I think that the Blackhawks, the Caps, Devontae, and Chicago fans, Caps fans, they're all responding the best way they should, and just telling everyone that's not going to be tolerated.
I think that was very well put, Brandon.
Thank you.
No, I agree with you 100%. I think Chicago handled it very well, not only by ejecting the fans from the arena, but telling them that they're no longer welcome back. I think Wayne Simmons of the Philadelphia Flyers came out and put it best, that they should be banned from all NHL arenas. And this kind of behavior is not only unacceptable, but completely wrong in every shape of the word. Without getting too political, I do feel like people nowadays that have these just backwards way of looking at things feel more empowered to think that it's okay to come out and say something like this. And it's one thing if, and I'm not saying that it's acceptable, but it's one thing for you to say that to someone you know. But to say something like that to a complete, who is essentially, even though we see these people, you know, night after night playing hockey, we don't know them as human beings. Not really. You know, we see some of the silly stuff they do outside of the rink, but we don't know them as people. And to think that it is acceptable to say something like that to another human being, who's the only difference between you and him in a biological sense is merely the color of their skin. It's horrible. And I don't understand what point in the night that someone went, you know what? I think this is a good idea. Like, you want to taunt a guy on the other team when they're in the press box, do your thing, you know, say stupid stuff, but like silly, stupid stuff.
Say your team sucks or, you know,
you can get creative about it.
Right.
But make it so it's kind of funny. You know, there have been things in the past where fans and players have had an interaction when they're in the press box, and it's been okay because you're goofing around and you're just making fun of them or whatever, but you're like, making fun of them as a hockey player and as a human being.
Right. Remember the Green Men from Vancouver?
Yeah. Like, that stuff was funny.
Right.
You know, they're screwing around. It doesn't affect them. It might bother the hockey player a little bit because it's weird, but it's not something that is, you know, completely and utterly unacceptable. And for these people to think that it is, you know, an acceptable and okay thing to do is just, it's wrong. In every, like I said, in every shape of the word, in every meaning, it is wrong. And I think the NHL and Chicago has done, you know, they've done the right thing by kicking them out and banning them essentially from the arena and from all games. And I think the NHL needs to step up and say, we don't want you as our fan in any way. Like, you are not allowed because this kind of behavior is unacceptable.
Right. And a lot of people out there I've seen comments online, everything like, how are you going to make sure this person doesn't come back? That's pointless.
It's called security cameras, dumbass.
Saying they're banned for life. What if they have a friend buy them tickets? Like, all right, if they're season ticket holders, then you can easily.
Not anymore.
Well, no, I'm saying, like, if they're season ticket holders, you can easily just go, all right, Your package is revoked. You're not allowed in here anymore.
See
but
ya.
Here's the thing that I went to a Ravens Jets game up in New York a couple seasons ago. I went on a bus trip with a bunch of other Ravens fans, and a guy across from me who I did not know got ejected from the stadium. And this is, I mean, there's no way of knowing if these people are going to come back into the arena. Like security, they don't have like facial recognition stuff and be like, this guy, get him. He's on the move. Go. Like,
no. Like episode 24.
Right.
Get him.
Right. This isn't Las Vegas from NBC, which was a great show.
That was a great show.
Great show. I missed that show. But anyway.
So I own most of the seasons on DVD.
Me too. but anyway, and they're the only ones that are copy protected by NBC, so I can't rip them and make them into digital files. But I don't do that anyway. I don't do that at all.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly. But anyway, so this guy, he got in trouble for cursing or something like that. They sent him to that like little jail in the stadium, you know, where they hold him until the end of the game. And then they made him sign a piece of paper that said, you're not allowed to come back to MetLife Stadium. If you do, you can be arrested, da-da-da-da. And he was forced to sign it before he left. So I'm assuming with these people that were ejected from the arena had to do the same thing. They had to sign something, say they wouldn't come back. So if they are spotted in the arena or they get in trouble again and do this same stupid thing, maybe to another player or another fan or something like that, and they go to the little jail in the stadium or arena, they're going to know these people have been here before and they'll go away and go to they could face, you know, a night in jail or something like that. So, I mean, is it foolproof that these guys are never going to be able to go to a Blackhawks game again? No, but it's definitely going to make their lives a little bit harder to actually go and enjoy hockey. And I'm actually kind of shocked that no names or anything have been released, because like in today's world with Twitter, Facebook and all that stuff, it's really hard to stay anonymous. So I am a little surprised that that no one has come out and like apologized from their personal Twitter account or anything like that.
It's one thing when you and I are on here and we're talking about players and saying, like, I'm pretty sure I've called Radko Gudas a douchebag numerous times on this podcast, but I feel like I need to make it clear that I'm talking about him as a hockey player. And when he's on the ice, I know nothing of who this gentleman is off the ice. Gudas could be the nicest, like Mother Teresa type dude off the ice. He could go and give all of his money to the poor and blah, 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 blah. Fact is, when he's playing hockey, he's a douche. He goes out of his way to try and hurt people or, you know, cause, you know, minor injuries or get penalties and whatever else. And the guy's a bit of a dick. But that is him on the ice. That is all I'm talking about. As a human being, that is something completely different. And when you start making comments like those morons in Chicago made, you're not talking to him as a hockey player anymore. You know, if Gudas is in the box and I'm next to it, well, first of all, I'm not saying a damn thing because I'm like 5'8". He'd destroy me in a fight. But I have no problems saying something, you know, like big tough guy behind is like on Twitter. But what I'm saying is I'm talking about him as a hockey player. I'm not talking about him as a person. I don't know him as a person, so I have no right to make that comment. The comments that the morons in Chicago made – not talk about Devontae Smith-Pelly as a hockey player. They are talking to him as a human being, and that's wrong. And you cannot do it that way.
Right. Absolutely. So on that note, I think that we both have said how terrible that is. Anything else going on in Caps world that we should cover?
I think they should ban those guys again. Let them back in, only to kick them out again.
Ban them. I mean, they're in Chicago. Ban them at Cubs, White Sox, Bears, Bulls, any type of sporting event. They're not allowed.
Anywhere in society, they're banned. I mean, we don't need that.
No. It's uncalled for. It's unnecessary. It doesn't make any sense. All right. Anything else going on in Caps world?
Nope. Of course, every time after what is the deadline? Is Monday?
Yes.
We're going to have an interesting show next week.
Yes, we are. Maybe.
Probably. Hopefully.
All right. Well, that's it for Caps World. We are going to go down on the farm. But before we go there, we're going to talk about the Baltimore Sports Report.
What the Puck?
What the Puck?
He's a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody. everybody. Welcome back to the show. We are going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
Well, the past week, Hershey went 3-0 with wins over Laval. I don't know. It's Canadian. I don't know how to say it. Belleville. I think it's Canadian. And Toronto. Look at that. Dare I say, Brandon, they went on a winning streak.
A winning streak? I didn't know Hershey knew what they were.
I didn't either. They are currently 7th, though they're up 1 from 8th, which was last. So that's marginally better. In the Atlantic Division with a record of 22-25-7, which gives them 51 points, 23 back of first place Lehigh Valley. They still have some work to do, and they'll be back at it on Friday in Hartford, followed up with a home game at the Giants Center against Rockford, and an away game on Sunday in Wilkes-Barre Scranton. Now, down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 2-0 with wins over Jacksonville and Norfolk. They're currently in 2nd in the South Division with a record of 33-11-6, which gives them 72 points, 3 back of first place Florida. They have back-to-back games over the weekend starting on Friday. Both of them are at home. Both of them are against Brampton. Isn't Brampton the place they went in the episode of The Simpsons?
I don't
know. Ned Flanagan, or where? What was that place called where Nelson really... Was it Nelson really wanted to go, and they went to the Sun Sphere eventually? Oh, that was Branson. Never mind.
Yeah.
All right.
Now we're there. All right, Branson.
That was Branson.
I was like, what was it? That's not the right word, but I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, something was not right there. But somehow that was going on down on the farm.
All right. Well, hey, Bears, look at you. Look at you guys winning games and Stingrays too.
Look at what you did.
You guys staying so cool. All right. Well, go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL. Plenty of stuff going on. Coach Dan, tell us, what's going on around the NHL?
Well, let's start in Philly, where they acquired goalie Peter Mrazek from Detroit for a conditional 4th-round pick in 2018 and a conditional 3rd in 2019. Looks like Michael Neuwirth can't stay healthy, and Philly had to go out and acquire a goaltender. Boston brought in defenseman Nick Holden from the Rangers for defenseman Rob O'Gara and a 3rd-round pick in 2018. Toronto sent former Capital Eric Fair to San Jose for a 7th-round pick in 2020. I actually discovered this, I want to say it was over the weekend, and I don't remember how, but I was looking up the roster for the San Diego Gulls, mm-hmm. I think is their name.
Yeah.
They had Eric Fair, Jeff Schultz. Wait, hold on. There was a couple other guys that I was like, what? They have Steve Alexi.
Oh, Alexi, I miss him.
They have Schultz. They had Fair. And Jared Bowley's playing in the NHL, but that's it. But I thought it was pretty funny that, like, Alexi, Fair, and Pylon, Jeff Schultz, were all kind of hanging out together San Diego.
Do you think those guys just kind of, like, sitting on the bus together in between towns and be like, man, remember
that time?
Remember we were in Washington and we had a private plane and... cushy seats.
Remember that time we were in the playoffs and doing all that fun stuff? And then Schultz's like, remember that time I won the cup? And like, you didn't even play. Shut up, Jeff.
Shut up, Schultz. Nobody asked you.
Yeah. God, goofy ass dude.
We were Penguins at one point, Schultz. Shut up. I was a king.
Yeah. God, I won a cup. Fair won two with Pittsburgh, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
Anyways, Arizona brought in goalie Darcy Kempner from L.A. for goalie Scott Wedgwood and forward Tobias Ryder. And finally, New Jersey's Miles Wood was suspended for 2 games for boarding Tampa Bay's Vladislav Nemtsov. I don't know if I said that correctly.
Sure, yeah.
But yeah, that's the past week in the NHL.
All right, and we would be stupid and if we neglected to talk about this, but local news here, the rink for the Stadium Series in Annapolis, they started building the rink this past week. So ice is going to go down soon. Everyone in Annapolis is very excited. I think they said that the mayor is from Australia or is Australian, and he really wants Nathan Walker to play in the game, which I thought was kind of funny. But yeah, but hold on, let me see if I can find it. I think it was Russian Machine who said it. Yeah, Annapolis Mayor Gavin Buckley is Australian, and he wants Nathan Walker to play in the Stadium Series.
Sorry, dude.
Don't see that happening, but...
You're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, but I'm still so bummed that I'm not going to that game. I really, really, really wish that tickets were not that expensive. But, man, I still can't wait to get my my Stadium Series jersey. Those things are slick.
I'll wait. I am in no rush.
I still don't see all the hate. I don't get it. I really don't.
It looks like crap. That's goddamn hate.
I think they're fine.
Well, you're wrong. You have the right to your opinion even when you're wrong.
All right. Well, if you guys want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can.
Tell Brandon about how those jerseys suck.
They're not that bad. I think they're fine.
Well, you're wrong.
You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter and agree with me about those jerseys.
Nope.
You're wrong. At WTP Coach Dan, I'm talking all kinds of Capitals related stuff. Again, how the jerseys are terrible and how the team's not playing very well right now and how I'm going to get confused how to spell the new guys' names. As well as talking all the kinds of sports in regards to the world of my sport fandom, and that's a terrible way to construct that sentence. With Arsenal and the Skins, who have sort of not really following anymore until they get rid of Bruce Allen.
Is Kirk Cousins really going to be a Jet?
I mean, he's, it's kind of a lateral move. But if they're willing to pay him, it's not necessarily the worst thing in the world for him, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, Jets fans are very passionate, even though they kind of suck.
We got Alex Smith. That'll be, and we overpaid for him too. So there's that. Oh god! But either way, that's the life of being a Skins fan. But hey, if you like the Capitals and you like this show, and Brandon and I are rambling from time to time about fashion,
yeah,
go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. We post Capitals news as well as when new shows are coming up, and all other sorts of fun NHL Capitals related information. That's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. Brandon, why don't you go ahead and tell the people about Brandon Casher? Damn it.
That's right. If you go over to our Facebook page as well, we have been sharing a lot of the Olympics news. We didn't cover that at all this
episode. Not much to cover, Brandon.
All right. So the men's team lost. No medals.
Terrible.
Nothing. They got blanked by Russia. I'm so glad I got up at 7 in the morning on a Saturday for that.
And you know what I didn't do on that Saturday morning? Get up for that.
But we're recording this Wednesday night. We have to say good luck to the women's hockey team. They're in the gold medal game up against Canada. So Hillary Knight and the rest of the USA hockey team, go get them.
Get them.
And
get freeloaders.
I think the Canadians, they've won gold. For the women's hockey team has won gold. Every year, every Olympics since 1998 or 1988. I don't know. I'm half awake when I'm watching the news in the morning, but something about that stat. So I would love to see the USA team win. Ladies, please do what you can. Bring the gold back to the US of A. That would be great. Great to see. That game's on at 11 tonight, Eastern Standard Time. So sorry to... I'm sorry to whatever producer I work with tomorrow at my job, because I am staying up as long as I can to watch that game.
I don't know how long I'm able to last.
I know. Last night, I'm like, I want to watch this whole U.S. game, and I fell asleep during the second intermission. They need to.
Yeah, I saw the game, and it was a giant waste of my time after them.
They need to get rid of the intermissions in hockey. They're too long, because I zone out and I fall asleep, and that's just fact.
Yeah, sit up, man.
No, I guess laying in bed isn't the best idea when you're doing that. But anyway, so yeah, check us out on Facebook. Check us out on Twitter at What the Puck Pod. We do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review and let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat, anywhere you are social on the web with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. Everybody, if you are planning your summer vacation in Ocean City, Maryland, make sure you go to benchmarkatthebeach.com, look up Dune Mist 1, select a week or a weekend in the summer, and stay at my condo in Ocean City. We have great rates. Talk to the property manager there. Tell them Brandon sent you. And yeah, check it out. We still have a couple weeks available in the summer, but weeks are going fast, so make sure you check us out and have a fun vacation. In my place, so do that. All right, until we talk again, there's four games to talk about that we're going to tell you guys about. So on Thursday, February 22nd, the Caps are in sunny Florida up against the Panthers. That game is at 7:30. You can watch that locally on NBC Sports Washington. Then the Caps go up to Buffalo on Saturday up against the Sabres. That game's at 7 o'clock on NBC Sports Washington. Then on Monday... What?
That's a home game.
Is it a home game? It is a home game. Never mind. The Sabres.
You can go to Buffalo if you want.
Go to Buffalo and then fly immediately back because you've made a mistake. the Caps are in D.C. on Saturday, February 24th, up against Buffalo. Could you imagine, like, the Caps fans I just freaked out that had tickets to that game? They're like, wait a minute. Did I? Oh, man. He got me.
I got a plane.
All right. So, yeah, that game is in D.C. up against Buffalo, NBC Sports Washington. It's at 7 o'clock on Saturday. Then on Monday, February 26th, the Caps are up against the Columbus Blue Jackets in Columbus. That game is at 7 o'clock, and we'll see Taylor Chorney. Say hi to him, and that game is on NBC Sports Washington. And then back-to-back games. Here we are on Tuesday, back in D.C., up against the Ottawa Senators. Hello, Philip Grubauer. You are going to be in net. That game is at 7 o'clock, and you can view that locally on NBC Sports Washington. And then we'll be back. And we will be talking about those four games, hopefully how the new recruits for defense have made this an unbeatable team, and there are four shutouts that we got to talk about, and maybe some trade deadline acquisitions, but we will check all that out. Oh, you know what? I wanted to promote something, too. I'm not affiliated at all whatsoever, except I'm a huge, huge Kevin Smith fan. As many of my friends will know, I'm a huge Jay and Silent Bob fan. But years and years ago, Kevin Smith wrote this miniseries based on the Warren Zevon, I think it's Warren Zevon song, Hit Somebody. And he couldn't, Warren Zevon, I think it's Zevon. I don't know how to say his last name. I'm sorry. I've only ever seen it on the internet. He's a guy who did Werewolf in London. But he did a song called Hit Somebody about a hockey goon. So Kevin Smith wrote a miniseries about the character, the goon, in that song. He shopped it around a couple different places, and nobody would make a hockey miniseries, even though I think it would be great on the NHL Network in the summer when they don't have a lot of programming. But couldn't do that or whatever. So he released it on his Smodcast podcast, the first two episodes, as an audiobook. And I listened to it to and from work earlier this week, and it's really, really good. I really wish they would make this into a miniseries because I really enjoyed it. I want to say it's some of Kevin Smith's best writing, but if you want to check it out, it's free. It's on the Smodcast podcast, and it's the first two episodes of Hit Somebody, spoken by Kevin Smith, and they've got sound effects and some music and stuff with it. So go check it out. It's actually pretty cool. And then when you get done checking that out, listen to What the Puck again, because I gave you something else to listen to, and yummy. All right, guys, that is it for the show this week. Thank you all for joining us. Say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
So both guys have the opportunity to stick around. And there was some
alert
speculation,
from,
and unfortunately I can't remember who...
No backups for 1672 days.
Hold on. Sorry about that. My computer decided to audibly tell me that there were no backups for over 1,000 days while you were talking. So I got...
Just a heads up, Brandon, you need to back up your computer!
Yeah, I got that on recording, so...